Stiles Broadcast Operations Centre right now. Behind me here you can see the monitor wall for monitoring all of our linear services. We have 22 primary services. Each of the services typically has a West Coast feed as well. And then both West Coast and East Coast will have a backup channel in case anything goes wrong in the primaries. On the monitor wall and the cubes, you can see the larger cube in the center of each mosaic section is actually the return feed coming back down from satellite, and the two in the top right are the two elements just above that, top left being the primary feed and the top right being the secondary feed. In the center cube of the whole monitor wall, where you can see the blue and red timelines scrolling by, the red items represent the movies or the interstitial content that's currently on air, and the alternating shades of blue are the subsequent items that will air after what's currently on. So we're here in the tape duplication center. All the content that arrives there at Stars will pass through this area where we'll clone the tape, so we have a protection and a master. So the original tape that arrived with the feature content on it will actually go to the basement, be locked away for safekeeping. And the clone is the tape that is then used for every subsequent operation we do on it. So encoding into our video service play out, it'll go to the edit bays, it'll go everywhere else that we need to use the content. In the event we break or destroy that tape, we can create another clone from the master.
This is the broadband encode room, and in here we create content for the nonlinear services such as Vongo and Stars On Demand.
So what are all these different devices that we see here?
In here we use MediaQuest, which is our scheduling system, to see what content has been scheduled for all those services. And we use MediaForge to capture and transcode those titles into the appropriate deliverable content.
This is the linear encode room. What we do in here is we ingest all the feature films and programs that air on the linear channels. As you can see, nothing is happening currently, except for I'm QCing interstitial breaks to air the interstitial breaks air in between the features so that the consumer at home will know what's coming up and what's going to be airing in the future as well. So,
what are some of these pieces of equipment that are on the racks?
Well, I mean, you know, we have the standard Betacam decks that we have. We're also using a bunch of Omnibus software to roll off the interstitial breaks.
So in the Stars data center, what we're looking at here is all the storage for the MediaForge environment. All of the content that gets captured, regardless of use on linear services or on non-linear services, it'll all end up being captured and stored on these disks. And there's about 200 terabytes right here, divided up between fiber drive for the actual capture and the high churn content, and then FATA drive for the more long-term storage of content.
Here at Stars, the satellite dishes, we have four satellite dishes. Three occupy point directly to their own Pacific spacecrafts that are geosynchronous orbit at the equator. The fourth one is a backup that we can hot swap to at any moment, and it will automatically track over to the Pacific satellite to for maintenance, for upgrades and that to the dishes and the RF distribution system that we use.
And about how much data is going up and down from these satellites?
Well, that's where we run into a problem trying to explain the difference between transmitting data, meaning bits and bytes, to bandwidth on a spacecraft. The average television communication spacecraft is based off of Ku or C-band transponders. Most of them have 24 to 36 transponders. Ku is averaged a bandwidth per transponder of 27 megabits. The C-band averages 36 megahertz. Sorry, I said that wrong. The average Ku transponder is 27 megahertz, and the average C-band transponder is 36 megahertz. That gives you the bandwidth capabilities to modulate different types of data points onto that specifically allocated frequency bandwidth that you have.
HD channels, for example, how many HD channels can be bounced off of these at one time?
Well, that's a very good question. As few as you want and as many as you want, I guess, is the question. Today in the broadcast world, when you're doing satellite communications, the whole point is point to multi-point communications. If I was going to do an internet, is point to multi-point, but the end user has to have as much throughput as I have to get out there. On the satellite, it doesn't matter because I'm saturating everything the same. So the end user doesn't need more throughput or less throughput. So if we look at it from STARS' point of view, if I'm going to do a modulation that would be QPSK modulation, which has four quadratures in its modulation, I can take about four HDs at about 18 megs a piece and take a clock and mix those four HDs into one 36 megahertz transponder. Now that's just the video. Of course, now no one just wants to watch video without audio. So we have to add audio, and of course in the United States we don't have one language, we have multiple languages. So we have to support that. We also have to support for the hearing impaired, closed captioning, and also the data that goes with it to tell you who can watch what, when the movie starts, when the movie ends, the title of the movie, and all that other great data that you want to proceed with those titles.
And how many satellites is it again that...
STARS supports three satellites with multiple transponders in each satellite.
And that's just for the United States, or...?
The geosynchronous orbit footprint for spacecrafts are based off the conus of the antenna and the way the antenna is shaped. So most spacecrafts that are over the orbit, think of it as a flashlight, 32,000 miles away from Earth, and it shines down. So as the Earth is round, as we all believe, maybe, that it's going to cover that, and you're going to try to put the spot in where your most densely population is, and then, of course, it's going to roll off from there. So if you do United States, of course, you're going to try to hit the center of the United States, which is around Colorado, Kansas area, and then it's going to roll off from there. And of course, that's going to spill down to South America and up to the North Pole.
Okay.